Penguin Random House Audio presents Magician Master by Raymond E. Feist. Book 2 in the Rift War Saga. Read for you by Nicholas Guy Smith. We were, fair queen, two lads that thought there was no more behind but such a day tomorrow as today, and to be boy eternal. Shakespeare, The Winter's Tale. Chapter 1. Slave. The dying slave lay screaming. The day was unmercifully hot. The other slaves went about their work, ignoring the sound as much as possible. Life in the work camp was cheap, and it did no good to dwell on the fate that awaited so many. The dying man had been bitten by a really, a snake-like swamp creature. Its venom was slow-acting and painful. Short of magic, there was no cure. Suddenly there was silence. Pug looked over to see a Surani guard wipe off his sword. A hand fell on Pug's shoulder. Lorry's voice whispered in his ear. Looks like our venerable overseer was disturbed by the sound of Tofston's dying. Pug tied a coil of rope securely around his waist. At least it ended quickly. He turned to the tall blonde singer from the kingdom city of Tirsog and said, Keep a sharp eye out. This one's old and may be rotten. Without another word, Pug scampered up the bole of the Nagagi tree, a fir-like swamp tree the Surani harvested for wood and resins. With few metals, the Surani had become clever in finding substitutes. The wood of this tree could be worked like paper, then dried to an incredible hardness, useful in fashioning 100 things. The resins were used to laminate woods and cure hides. Properly cured hides could produce a suit of leather armor as tough as Midkemian chainmail, and laminated wooden weapons were nearly the match of Midkemian steel. 4 years in the swamp camp had hardened Pug's body. His sinewy muscles strained as he climbed the tree. His skin had been tanned deeply by the harsh sun of the Surani homeworld. His face was covered by a slave's beard. Pug reached the first large branches and looked down at his friend. Lorry stood knee-deep in the murky water, absently swatting at the insects that plagued them while they worked. Pug liked Lorry. The troubadour had no business being here, but then he'd had no business tagging along with a patrol in the hope of seeing Surani soldiers either. He said he had wanted material for ballads that would make him famous throughout the kingdom. He had seen more than he had hoped for. The patrol had ridden into a major Surani offensive, and Lorry had been captured. He had come to this camp over 4 months ago, and he and Pug had quickly become friends. Pug continued his climb, keeping one eye always searching for the dangerous tree dwellers of Keliwan. Reaching the most likely place for a topping, Pug froze as he caught a glimpse of movement. He relaxed when he saw it was only a needler, a creature whose protection was its resemblance to a clump of Nagagi needles. It scurried away from the presence of the human and made the short jump to the branch of a neighboring tree. Pug made another survey and started tying his ropes. His job was to cut away the tops of the huge trees, making the fall less dangerous to those below. Pug took several cuts at the bark, then felt the edge of his wooden axe bite into the softer pulp beneath. A faint, pungent odor greeted his careful sniffing. Swearing, he called down to Lorry, This one's rotten. Tell the overseer. He waited, looking out over the tops of trees. All around, strange insects and bird-like creatures flew. In the 4 years he had been a slave on this world, he had not grown used to the appearance of these life forms. They were not all that different from those on Midkemia, but it was the similarities as much as the differences that kept reminding him This was not his home. Bees should be yellow and black striped, not bright red. Eagles shouldn't have yellow bands on their wings, nor hawks purple. These creatures were not bees, eagles, or hawks, but the resemblance was striking. Pug found it easier to accept the stranger creatures of Kellywan than these. The six-legged Nidra, the domesticated beast of burden that looked like some sort of bovine with two extra stumpy legs, or the Choja, the insectoid creature who served the Surani and could speak their language. These he had come to find familiar. But each time he glimpsed a creature from the corner of his eye and turned, expecting it to be Midkemian only to find it was not, then the despair would strike. Lorry's voice brought him from his reverie. The Overseer comes. Pug swore. If the Overseer had to get himself dirty by wading in the water, then he would be in a foul mood, which could mean beatings or a reduction in the chronically meager food. He would already be angered by the delay in the cutting. A family of burrowers, beaver-like six-legged creatures, had made themselves at home in the roots of the great trees. They would gnaw the tender roots, and the trees would sicken and die. The soft, pulpy wood would turn sour, then watery, and after a while the tree would collapse from within. Several burrower tunnels had been poisoned, but the damage had already been done to the trees. A rough voice, swearing mightily while its owner splashed through the swamp, announced the arrival of the Overseer, Nogamu. He himself was a slave, but he had attained the highest rank a slave could rise to, and while he could never hope to be free, he had many privileges and could order soldiers or freemen placed under his command. A young soldier came walking behind, a look of mild amusement on his face. He was clean-shaven in the manner of a Surani freeman, and as he looked up at Pug, the slave could get a good look at him. He had the high cheekbones and nearly black eyes that so many Surani possessed. His dark eyes caught sight of Pug, and he seemed to nod slightly. His blue armor was of a type unknown to Pug, but with the strange Surani military organization, that was not surprising. Every family, domain, area, town, city, and province appeared to have its own army. How they all related one to another within the empire was beyond Pug's understanding. The Overseer stood at the base of the tree, his short robe held above the water. He growled like the bear he resembled and shouted up at Pug, "What's this about another rotten tree?" Pug spoke the Surani language better than any Midkemian in the camp, for he had been there longer than all but a few old Surani slaves. He shouted down, "It smells of rot. We should re-rig another and leave this one alone, slave master." The Overseer shook his fist. "You are all lazy. There is nothing wrong with this tree. It is fine. You only want to keep from working. Now cut it." Pug sighed. There was no arguing with the bear, as all the Midkemian slaves called Nogamu. He was obviously upset about something, and the slaves would pay the price. Pug started hacking through the upper section, and it soon fell to the ground. The smell of rot was thick, and Pug removed the ropes quickly. Just as the last length was coiled around his waist, a splitting sound came from directly in front of him. "It falls!" he shouted down to the slaves standing in the water below. Without hesitation, they all ran. The cry of "falls" was never ignored. The bole of the tree was splitting down the middle now that the top had been cut away. While this was not common, if a tree was far enough gone for the pulp to have lost its strength, any flaw in the bark could cause it to split under its own weight. The tree's branches would pull the halves away from each other. Had Pug been tied to the bole, the ropes would have cut him in half before they snapped. Pug gauged the direction of the fall. Then, as the half he stood upon started to move, he launched himself away from it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?